We lift our eyes to the mountains. Where will our help come from? Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Beloved, peace to you and grace in God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's read together from our Father's Word as we find it this evening in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 to 11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. By the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, you are the fountain of all wisdom. And so wonderful to hear the sound when we say it, when we call you the Father of mercies. We come together before you in the quiet of this evening to adore your holy name as your people, because you are the God who hears prayer, and to you all flesh shall come. You've invited us to call upon you in the day of trouble. You've promised to deliver us and to show us great and hidden things. We pray now that your Spirit may fill this place and soften hard hearts and strengthen weary souls and stir in us a holy hunger for righteousness and for reformation. Father, give that every prayer we offer, every song we sing, and every word we hear, that all of it would rise as a sweet offering of faith and obedience. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. We don't have an official missions focus this evening, but I want to say a few words about the Reformation and the mission of God. We know what happened on the 31st of October, 1517, when Martin Luther went and nailed those 95 theses to the door of the castle church in Wittenberg, and he protested the practice for paying for forgiveness, known as the sale of indulgences. Remember what Tetzel used to say to people? He said, the minute that coin drops in the bottom of the can, your relative's soul is freed from purgatory. Isn't that terrible? You can play with a people's pain like that for money. In the name of Jesus. God bless Martin Luther, but he wasn't the only one. There was another one called Johannes Bugenhagen. He was Luther's pastor. And it seems like he did his work. And at Luther's death in 1546, Bugenhagen preached at his funeral and cared for his widow and children. He was a gifted church planter and organizer, and he helped to establish many churches across northern Europe. His church orders, or Kirchenordnungen, laid the foundation for gospel-centered communities all over the place, and that showed that true reformation leads to mission. Speaking to our friends in Wetzlar, you live in a very special place, my brothers, back there in the land of Luther, and we love you. I know you're listening. God bless you. Today, the Reformation is not just a memory, but it's a call to action. And it reminds us to take up our priestly role of living out our faith and to pray for the unsaved and to witness to them and to lead them to Jesus. That's not only for the Arminians and the Pentecostals and the Charismatics, to lead people to Jesus. We call to that too. And we need to do it. And share the gospel. Send out missionaries to make disciples of all nations. And today, as we celebrate Reformation Sunday, we're inspired by the examples of Luther and Bugenhagen and Melanchthon and others, Calvin later on. And you and I need to also commit to being a people shaped by Scripture and sent into the world to proclaim the gospel of salvation in Christ alone, by faith alone, to the Scriptures alone, to the glory of God alone. And pray for our missionaries too. I heard from our brother Darren from Ecuador. They no longer have to go and sneak over the mountain to get to the airport because the people have broken up the roadblock there, 200 meters from their house. I spoke to Darren in the week. They can get through safely now. And they'll be with us, I think, on the 19th, Patrick?
16th of November.
The 16th, they'll be with us. And we will spoil Darren and Andrea a little bit in our midst. They send their love to all of you. Pray for them. Thank you to our brother Jacob Igba also for what he's doing out of the college to train young men to preach the word of God. We're going to continue to pray together this evening. We have much to be thankful for, how the Lord has undertaken for Darren and Andrea. The Lord is gracious. I want to ask you all to pray also for our brothers and sisters in Wetzlar, in Germany. They pray for us. Let's pray for them too. I want to ask you also to pray for Pastor Henny over at Emmaus with some of the challenges that he's facing there. Pray for us as elders and deacons as we seek to walk together with them. Pray for Kuzi. Can't give you detail, but Kuzi's facing deep challenges. He's our son. He's our brother. Almost grew up among us here. Pray for Kuzi and his wife and his little family. Hold them up to the Lord. Let's pray together. O Lord our God, you are good and you also do good. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds and beyond, and your promises never fail. And for Father, we praise you that you are a God who hears the cries of your people, not because we are worthy, but because you are gracious and you are merciful. We thank you for every mercy already received. We thank you for daily bread, for the fellowship of the saints, for the freedom to be able to gather together in worship. But above all, Father, for the gift of your Son, whose blood has opened the way into your presence. This evening we want to thank you for the Reformation, for the recovery of the gospel of grace, for the courage of those who stood upon your word alone. And Father, we pray that you do it again in our day and reform your church where it has grown cold. We pray that you revive your people where prayer has waned. Father, restore to us a living faith, a faith that clings to Christ, a faith that truly trembles at your word. We pray for our sister churches near and far, and we hold up to you this evening the Emmaus Baptist Church, the Wetzlar Church, all our sister churches, that you will preserve them in truth and protect them from error. Father, give to their pastors a holy boldness and coupled with tender hearts. We thank you for the missionaries who are working in distant fields. Uphold them in their hardship, and they often experience loneliness, Father. We pray that you refresh them. Pray for Darren and Andrea as they travel to come and see us, that you will preserve and protect them. Father, we pray for those who govern our country. We pray that you give wisdom that we know begins with the fear of the Lord. Father, restrain the evil around about us and promote what is good and make justice and righteousness to prevail in our nation. We pray for ourselves as citizens that you make us the salt and the light of the world. We bring before you those who suffer among us, the sick, the grieving, the poor, the anxious, the lonely, the rejected, the dejected. All those whose prayers seem to echo back at them unanswered. Teach them, Father, and teach us to wait upon you with quiet hearts, to believe that your delays are merciful and that all your purposes are perfect. Bring to us healing and comfort and hope through your presence. Father, we pray that you sanctify us through your word this night and make us a praying people. Not a people who demand their own will, but a people who delight in yours. When you answer swiftly, teach us gratitude. When you delay, teach us patience. When you deny, teach us trust. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to consider together tonight something that we all experience. We're in the middle of a series that we've been looking at for some weeks, as you remember. We're looking at the trials and the temptations in life that we all have and how we need to fight and face them. What does our Father say? How do we face these trials and temptations? And we've looked at the temptations, lust and sexual immorality, greed and love of money, pride and self-exaltation, selfishness is a temptation, envy and jealousy, anger and wrath, lying and deception, idolatry, doubt and lack of faith, fear and anxiety, addiction and gluttony, and common old laziness, or as we call it, sloth. Those are the temptations, that the pulls towards sin. But there are these external trials and tests that we face too, and we've looked at some of them. We've looked at persecution for our faith. We've looked at suffering and pain. We looked at temptation from Satan and then loneliness and rejection. And tonight we come and look at something that is, I think we all know well, unanswered prayers. Or delays in answers to prayer. We all experience that. Seems like God is not going to answer that prayer. We've been praying it for years and God has not intervened. Or there are delays in prayers being answered. And that's what we're going to be looking at together this evening. And we look at it from several selected scriptures. And by way of introduction, I want to look at God's promises to hear and answer prayer, to see why this can also be to us a problem that causes great doubt in us. Because we see many promises in the Word from God that He'll hear our prayers. That He'll answer our prayers. In fact, He doesn't just invite us to pray. He commands us to pray without ceasing. So what do we do when we obey Him? When we pray without ceasing? What do we do if we accept His invitation to come to the throne of grace boldly and He seems silent? Seems inactive. Sure that most of us have experienced that. You see, prayer is one of the most sacred privileges of the Christian life. We invite it and we command it to bring our needs, our desires and our burdens to our Father. And you and I know that the Scripture abounds with promises that God hears and answers the prayers of His people. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Listen to your Father. Call to me, and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 8. well-known one. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. The Apostle John himself also in 1 John chapter 5 verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have toward him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Psalm 34 verse 70. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. It's clear, isn't it? And yet, every honest believer knows the agony that comes when our prayers seem to go unanswered. When heaven feels silent. When delay drags on and on with no apparent response from God. What are you and I to make of that tension? The Puritans knew it too. Thomas Watson said, "The angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel." We know the power of prayer. But what about when the angel doesn't come? We're going to look this evening at the perplexing reality of an unanswered prayer, the possible reasons behind unanswered prayer, and the proper response of the believer. It is a perplexing reality, this matter of unanswered prayer. It perplexes us, it puzzles us, it's a puzzling thing. Because even saints who walk closely with God experience the anguish of what seems like unanswered prayer. But you know, the Bible doesn't shy away from that reality. Remember Psalm 13, the first verse? "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" Remember Job in chapter 30, verse 20. "I cry to you for help, and you do not answer me. I stand, and you only look at me." Lamentations chapter 3, verse 8. "Though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer." You see, this is a profound mystery. These holy silences that test our faith, that experience of waiting in agony, of pleading with tears and hearing no answer. Many of us know how painful that can be. It can even come to a point where we question God's love, or we question our own standing before him. But you know what? This pain is even been felt by our Lord Jesus himself. "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And we know what happened. Even Jesus in his humanity prayed with passion and with tears, and the cup was not taken away. But his prayer was heard, even though it wasn't answered in the way that he asked. John Newton told us, "When the Lord delays in answering prayer, it is not because he's indifferent or unaware, but because he has a perfect purpose." But it remains a perplexing reality. Now, what are the possible reasons behind that? Why is that so? I often get asked that question as a pastor. Why is God not answering my prayer? In fact, you pray for one thing. It seems as though the Lord gives the opposite. You pray that God will protect his church and protect it against factions. The next thing, you sit with factions. That happens too. What is one to do with that? It's a perplexing reality. Well, what are the possible reasons? As I think we can accept that God's silence is never arbitrary. It's never without a reason. He's not just having a Sunday afternoon nap. There are reasons for that. Because God, in his wisdom and in his sovereignty, may withhold or delay an answer for various reasons, and it looks at some of them. Firstly, for our sanctification and our growth in faith. You know, sometimes, you know what I'm saying, if God, you know that with your own children, they come and ask you for a good thing. It's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. But you know, as a parent, if I gave this kid that good thing now, the good thing won't be good for him. Right? Does that sound familiar? Have you withheld things from your children? Good things. Because you knew that that good thing wouldn't be good for them right now. They wouldn't know what to do with it. They'll probably commit evil with it if you gave it to them. If they can't yet drive a car and they come and ask if they can go for a drive, that's a good thing. Are you going to give them the key? No, you're not. And we often ask God for good things that he wants us to have. But the reality is, we're not ready for it. And God knows that. God knows that. And he holds back. He wants you to have that good thing. And eventually he will give it to you. But right now he knows, if I give that one that good thing now, it won't be good. God knows that. So he holds back for our sanctification and for our growth in grace and faith. As James tells us in chapter 1, verse 3 to 4, the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect. God makes us suffer a little bit, because Romans 5, 3 to 5 says, suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. God sometimes delays to draw us into deeper dependence and into greater maturity. He stretches our faith and he purifies our desires. You know by now you can't trust your desires. You know that by now, don't you? I hope all of you know that. You need to check your desires. What is it that I want? Why do I want it? It's a good thing. In fact, it's a wonderful thing. It's a thing that would glorify God. But God knows you're not ready for it. And he delays to draw us into deeper dependence. Stephen Charnock told us, God delights not in the sufferings of his people, but in their growth. And sometimes he answers us not in mercy, that he may answer us better at the right time. I've had to learn that in a hard way. I've tried to get ahead of God so many times in my life that I'm surprised that he's ever given me any good thing. He answers us not in mercy, that he may answer us better in due time. So it's for our sanctification and our growth in faith. Secondly, because of unconfessed sin or disobedience. That can affect it too. Psalm 66 verse 18 tells us, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. It's clear language, brothers and sisters. Sin and bad attitudes in us can affect your prayers. Isaiah tells us in chapter 59, the first two verses, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Now I know he's speaking there corporately to the people of Israel. He's not just speaking to individuals, and we need to get that right too. Sometimes we read the Bible wrong and we think when the Lord is speaking to Israel or to the church, he's speaking to me. That's why all of us must read Mortimer J. Adler's book, How to Read a Book. It's quite an art to know how to read a book. But he speaks to Israel. He says, their iniquities have made a separation between them and their God, and their sins have hidden his face from them so that he does not hear them. You see, we need to learn that persistent, unrepented of sin can hinder your prayer. Because God calls us to walk in holiness and in sincerity. But there's another reason. It could be because the request is not according to God's will. Maybe you're just asking God for something he doesn't want you to have at all. Not only just not now, but not ever. Some good things are sometimes never good. For some people, they do bad things with it when God gives them good things. Sometimes what we ask is not according to his will. John tells us in 1 John chapter 5, 14, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. James says the same in chapter 4, verse 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You see that one? It's not according to God's will because God knows what you want to do with a good thing. You want to spend it on your passions. You see, some things, some requests are simply not good for us. Or they're not good yet. And even though we ask for bread, sometimes we ask for a stone. And God will not give it. And then in the fourth place, it could be because of divine timing. So you know something about our Father, you remember? Ecclesiastes tells us, chapter 3, 11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. God does not just make everything beautiful. He makes everything beautiful in its time. Time. You got to wait on the Lord. Habakkuk knew that in chapter 2, verse 3. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. If it seems slow, wait for it, says the prophet. You see, God's clock is never wrong. We are time-bound. He's eternal. What feels late to us is always perfect with God because always is always now for God. Now, what must be our proper response to unanswered prayer? How do we respond to it? When our prayers go unanswered or are delayed, how should we respond to that? There could be many answers to this, but the following occurred to me. I think we need to firstly continue in faithful, persevering prayer. The first thing is, don't stop praying. Carry on praying. Never get to a point where you say to yourself, "Ah, it's no use, he doesn't hear anyway." Give him no rest. If it's according to his will, Pray again and pray again and pray again and pray again. Luke tells us in chapter 18, verse 1, that we ought to always pray and not lose heart. So don't lose heart. If your prayer seems unanswered or the answer seems delayed, don't lose heart. Always pray and don't lose heart. As Paul tells the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. You and I must not give up when our God seems silent. His delay is not denial. Keep praying, keep asking, keep knocking. You remember George Muller? He's known for his powerful and faithful prayer life. He said, "The great fault of the children of God is they do not continue in prayer. They do not persevere." And I think that is a true and fair indictment. So that's the first thing. Continue in faithful, persevering prayer. Secondly, examine your heart. Don't only look in God and circumstances for reasons why your prayers are not answered. Look in yourself. Examine your heart. Psalm 139:23-24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Lamentations 3:14. Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. When you examine your heart and you... By the way, we must stop being so embarrassed about it. I don't think it takes anybody by surprise when a human being who is saved by grace alone does something stupid or says something stupid. Why are we so surprised? Ducks quack. People do that. All of you. I do that. The late Dr. John MacArthur did too. Elsie sent me a thing this morning from Dr. John MacArthur. It said one of the reasons he wants to go to glory is there'll be no sin there, and he's tired of sin. And I wondered when I read it, my brother, where is the sin that you're so tired of? Is it in everyone around you? Or is it in you? I know the sin that I'm tired of, where it is lodged. It's not in you folk. It's not in the people around about me. It's not in the world. It's inside of me. It's there. We need to examine our hearts. If sin is present, if motives are impure, which they often are, ask God to clean them up for you. And then pray again. Thirdly, we need to submit to God's sovereign will. Matthew 6:10 tells us, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So we'd better see that our prayers are in line with the will of God. Job 13:15, "Though he slay me, I will hope in him." How many of us can say that? Even if God was to slay me, I will hope in him. You see, faith does not insist on its own way, just like love. True prayer yields to God's purposes. True prayer trusts that God is wise, that God is good, and that God is kind. And then fourthly, trust God's character, not just God's answers. Your trust needs to be in the character of God, not only in the conduct of God. You need to trust him for who and what he is, not only for what he gives and for what he does. Because Romans 8:28 tells us, we know. You hear what Paul says? He doesn't say we must believe it. He doesn't say we must hope so. He doesn't say that we must trust so. He says that we know. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Your Father will work it out for you. Whatever it is. As Isaiah tells us in chapter 30 and verse 18, the Lord waits to be gracious to you. Blessed are all those who wait for him. You see, you and I must rest in who and how God is, even when, perhaps especially when we don't understand what he is doing or not doing. Our faith must be in who and what he is and how he is. Matthew Henry, he says, when God delays in answering prayer, he's not denying us, at least not without a good reason, but he's teaching us to wait, to trust, and to rest in him. And so you see, unanswered prayer and delays, I know they're painful. How many times have some of you and I sat together in that little study over there? You remember the tears we cried? Remember how we cry out to him together? We need to continue in that. You see, unanswered prayers and delays in answers to prayers, as I said in the beginning, it's a perplexing reality in the life of faith. But they are not evidence of God's neglect of us. There are times when there are invitations into a deeper trust, invitations into greater repentance, invitations into growth, and into surrender. That's what they are. God is not ignoring you. He may be sanctifying you. He may be saving you from a lesser good. He may be preparing you to receive something greater, or to receive the same good thing in a much better time. We need to remember the cross of Christ is the ultimate and clear assurance that God hears us, because he didn't spare his own son. You and I can be certain that no good thing will he withhold from us. He didn't even spare and hold back Jesus. Why would he hold back anything else? Can you think of that? Why would the God who gave you his only begotten son, the bright and morning star, the lily of the valley, who gave you that? Why wouldn't he give you other things? He's already given you the best. Because he loves you. And so pray on. Let there be more of us at the prayer meetings. Speaking to the elders when our brother John is back, and we start another midweek prayer meeting somewhere. For those who can't make a Saturday morning, maybe in somebody's house, start another prayer meeting during the week. Those who can't come on a Saturday morning, and I understand that, there's no judgment. I understand that. You can maybe go pray in the week. Because we need to pray on. We need to wait patiently. We need to trust deeply, because in God's time and in His way, every true prayer according to His will will find the perfect answer. You have the assurance of your God. Let's pray together. Our faithful God, we've heard your word and we've been reminded that your ways are higher than our ways, your timing is perfect, your silence never without a purpose. And Father, we pray this evening that you seal these truths upon our hearts. Father, please don't let delay in answered prayer lead us to despair, but rather to deeper faith and steadfast obedience. Make us content to wait upon you and confident that you are too wise to make a mistake and you are too loving to be unkind. As we go from this place, may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God our Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit sustain and sanctify us until the day when every prayer finds its answer in the glory of your presence. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's stand and sing together hymn 610, Lord, teach us how to pray aright. Brothers and sisters, now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and in every good word. Amen.